This is Carolyn Evers, and I have a very interesting message that has come from Julius Caesar. You know, there's been an awful lot of negativity in the news, scandals, things aren't going well in the Middle East as far as the government is concerned. Of course, there's a lot of us that don't even believe we belong there. And so I asked Caesar, is America following the path of the ancient Romans? And he has a very remarkable message that he gave to answer that. But before I get into Caesar's message, I wanted to talk a little bit about my relationship with him over the past 5 years. And I, 5 years ago, I went with a group of light workers to Italy. Master Kazi had called us. There was a portal that was opening, and we were working with those energies to help bring them to Earth. And while I was in Rome, which was my portion of the trip, I started having visions of Julius Caesar. And it was like I was seeing her life lived in a motion picture. I saw portions of her life just as if you were seeing them on a screen. And I realized I was a part of her because the emotions were mine. I was feeling these emotions very deeply. And she was very much in love with a Roman. In my novel that I am writing about the story, Caesar's daughter and the centurion, I call him Flavius, but really he had a more Romanized name, Flavianus. And they loved one another very greatly. And so I saw her bedroom, which was kind of interesting because it was round. I never expected to see a round room that was Roman, but later after the trip, I actually went to the villa where Caesar had rented this villa and saw the ruins of this building, and indeed the room where she and Flavius would meet was round, which I thought was kind of interesting. And so she would tell me parts of the story, and then I would see the events in their life, and then later I actually went to the places and saw the ruins. And so this was like reliving a complete lifetime. And what I learned from that is that this was Julia's twin flame. They had come to Earth with a group of people, Caesar being one, Brutus being another, and Cornelia, who was Caesar's wife, along with Caesar's mother. And what their mission was, at least Julia's and Flavius's, their mission was to put back into the grid system the ability to raise kundalini between two lovers. And they had tried that quite a few times in the past, and they were never able to do it. Time wasn't right, but they were able to do it in that lifetime. And the other part of the mission that this whole group had come to do was to help bring in a Roman peace, to prepare for the teacher who was coming, the teacher that we know of as Jesus Christ. And so that mission was very important. Caesar was a conqueror in the past. His role in the mission was to help secure these lands that we would have called, or they would have called in that time, barbarian, because there was no law. And they were to bring in peace and cooperation in these other countries, and certainly not crucifixion. That wasn't part of the plan. But there was to be trade. Everyone was to flourish with trade and cooperation. And so it was intended to be a golden age, which you started to see the Roman architecture and the music and so much of the engineering abilities, the law. And so this was to go the way of a golden age. And I guess you might say the thing that happened with Caesar is he couldn't accept a female child. He believed he had to be a male. And so there was a wall built between the two of them. He thought the gods had betrayed him. They gave him a mistake. He got a daughter instead of the son that he wanted. So right from the very beginning, there was this hostility between the two of them. And when he found out that she had a lover, it was more than his male ego could take, because he killed him. And in that moment, he destroyed their mission, because Flavius was playing a very important part in this team. And so Caesar lost his way. He became the conqueror, yes, but he did things that was against the spiritual hierarchy, and that is what the whole book, Conversations with Caesar, is about. And so the very first time that Caesar came to me, you might say I didn't like him. I was still angry with him. You might even say blew him off in a sense, because I was feeling this outrage as to why he should have treated this daughter the way he did. And so eventually I did come to terms with this man, and he started to tell me the story of where he was. And he tells us about the Bardo. And when he was assassinated by Brutus, interestingly, he tells us where he wakes up into the next world. And he calls it the Bardo, but those with a Christian perspective would be calling it purgatory. And what he explains about what this life was like, he called it a gray world, a numb world, full of despair, a place where you kept reliving every event that you had done in the past and looking at it from the perspective of universal law. It's a place where he calls it a world of no life, and it is because no one can kill another or themselves and not be held up to payment because of spiritual laws that they had broken. And so after he describes what this world is like, I had this great compassion for him, because he was in such torment. And even though I had been felt he had treated Julia in an uncaring manner, he was still a human being, and I didn't feel that any human being should be under the torment that he had been for so many years. And it was at that moment that I forgave him unconditionally. And so this was a healing for me, and it was a healing for Caesar, because it was at that moment of my forgiveness that he was released from the Bardo, along with the soldiers who were there with him. So those soldiers that had carried out his commands and had done what he had told them to do, they were all there with Caesar also in the Bardo. And so there was a great healing. And from the Bardo, he was then able to reconnect with Cornelia. That was his twin flame. And he then made a journey to the center of the cosmos. And by the way, that is a most beautiful story, because he explains what it looks like there. When God looks out at his creation from the center of the cosmos, Caesar is there, and he describes that. And that is on the webpage, conversationswithcaesar.com, under important messages. And I think it would be something that you would really get a lot of warmth in your heart just to be able to read this. And so over a period of 5 years, I had learned so much from this man after I had forgiven him. And what I had learned is that we come to Earth we forget our missions sometimes, and we fall, or we might gain in that lifetime, or we might lose in that lifetime. But if we lose, we have to pay for our mistakes. We have to make things right. And then he connected with all of his lifetimes, and he then gained all of, he connected with all the good that he had ever done in the past. And so you might call this the story of Caesar's life, death, and ascension, because this is what he has done. He is doing great spiritual work, working with energies on the other side. And so over a period of time, I have really come to respect this man because I have learned so much from him. So what I'm going to do is read his message about what he thinks America is in following this path of the ancient Romans. And then after I read that, if people wish to call in and comment or have questions on it, you can. And that number is 888-268-4313. And so Caesar starts talking about choices, how we all have choices that we can choose from, whether you're talking about your personal choice or world events. And he talks about the world leaders in our society now. And he talks about ego and outside pressures are pressing for their decisions rather than making a decision from the heart. And he goes on to say that the choices that our leaders are making are not always in the best interest of the country. And he says, humans are a social group, and even in Rome, we had our system of patronage. Here in America, the patron system is alive and well. You do not call it the patron system, but alliances are given for gifts received. And so he goes on to say that in the past, that these alliances that have been made have been kept in secret. But he said the good news is, in this sense, that there is a pivoting point coming in our country. This is the change. And what he says is, it has been decreed that the light will infiltrate every place where human thought has kept these things secret, and it will open these hiding places for public scrutiny. What is surfacing now will be just the beginning of a long list of scandals. What has been revealed in the press is just the tip of the iceberg, as you say. There have been dealings in secret for many years in your Senate, House of Representatives, and the presidential office itself, and not all has been made in the best interest of you, the public. Because America has the power and influence that she has, the spiritual hierarchy has started in your homeland to uncover the degradation that has been the source of not only the discontent of the American people, but your subjugation in personal finances and control. As you may be aware, greed in your corporate world has taken a toll on American quality of life. Many families must choose now between what quality food they will purchase for their family and the manner in which they will care for the elderly and young. These families in particular in lower income classes have been abused in a most dire manner. You have the resources in your country to food and care for many displaced individuals who have fled both from storms and earthquakes, yet most of this work has been done by individuals and not the federal government. And so as he talks about the greed of corporations, all we have to think about what is happening in the oil industry, for instance. We keep paying more and more money at the pump, yet the companies keep piling up great amounts of profit in each quarter. You know, we keep seeing that. And so it is the same. I know here in Maryland, where I live, the gas and electric company is talking about a 78% increase in electric rates now that it has been energy has been deregulated. And so what he is saying is all of these things are going to be surfacing, and this is just the beginning. And he goes on to say about how generous Americans have been, that we've given to these survival efforts. In other words, you know, the people who have been affected by the tsunami and Katrina and the earthquakes in Pakistan. And he says, but those who would sell their birthright have sold their conscience also and have stolen much of the funds meant for those who suffer. So he says, he goes on to say, I could take the time to describe how the American government has followed the course of history regarding the Roman times, but I will allow my daughter to discuss this. Since I am on this side of the veil, so to speak, I will speak from the perspective of the planning of the spiritual hierarchy. And so what he talks about now is the change that is coming to Earth. And he says, the dark and the light have their own hierarchy and have been in conflict with each other since the ancient time of Lemuria, when the elder brothers decided to allow the dark forces to reside on this planet. And that history can be found in Archangel Michael's book called Earth History, Past, Present, and Future. And so he says, time as we know it on this side, meaning his side, is circular in a sense. And to us, it would appear as a tree. And so you might consider it as no time, what is called the eternal now. And he agrees that it would be difficult for us to understand this because our time frame of existence is different. Our perception is different here. But he says that on his side, that they have the ability to follow the branches of this tree. And he says, I can not only view all of my past lives, what was in the past, the present, and the future, but he can also view the events on our timeline that have not come to fruition. And this is what he says. He says, I see a division between the light and the dark, and the light eventually winning in this struggle. The reason for this victory is because of the energies that have been coming to this planet through the sun. As we have mentioned many times, these energies come from source, and the love of source is stronger than any dark force. And we have discussed these energies many times. Pope John Paul, in his book Viva Papa, discusses this. And the great time of change was in 1999 when the energies, the solar winds had stopped, and the energies coming through the sun had imprinted the earth. And so that energy, they are all telling us, is the spiritual energy that started this whole thing, and it is coming from source. And so these energies are continuing to arrive on earth. And he says, this is what is uncovering any dark deed. Politicians who have not acted in the best interest of the people will be found out for what they are. This means that there will be even greater struggles, as they will not release their power without placing great obstacles in the way of peace and prosperity. The dark has held the earth captive for eons, and they have been accustomed to victory. Never before has this energy from source come to earth as it is coming forth presently. In this lifetime, you will see dramatic changes. The people who have been held hostage for all these years, and there is a struggle in the higher realms of earth. You do not see this, but the energies of both the light and the dark struggle beyond the bend of manifestation. And so we have talked about this in the past, that as the energy comes to earth, there is what they call a 90-degree bend, where this energy rounds this bend, and as it comes into manifestation, this energy turns into the hard electrons of gases and particles that have hardened. And so that is where the struggle is, that both the light and the dark are trying to control this energy as it comes to Earth. And he continues, the place of this struggle may seem strange to you, but victory will be in the hands of the light. This cannot be changed, as the energy signatures of victory are already imprinted on the entranceway to materialization. This is imprinted at a higher vibratory level and cannot be changed by the dark forces that inhabit the earth. This victory is beyond destruction. So just to explain that a little bit, we have light forces and dark forces, and they are at different vibratory rates. And the dark forces are at a lower vibratory rate, and they cannot change the imprint of spiritual victory that is beyond this 90-degree turn on the other side's manifestation. And they can't change it because their vibratory level is at a lower level. And the reason there is this signature of victory is because God has placed it there with these energies that he is sending to Earth. And so Caesar goes on to say, he talks about this struggle beyond that entranceway between the forces of the light and the dark. And then he goes on to say there's another segment of the dark, and they're housed off planet. And they are struggling to countermand the signatures of the light. But this signature is being guarded by powerful forces of the Universal Galactic Command. Well, that's kind of a mouthful, but basically what he is meaning by that is that there are a lot of systems in the cosmos, and they have wise, elevated people who are part of an agreement that they're calling the Universal Galactic Command, and they have come to help us. They are protecting this gateway because it is such an important place right at the moment. The negativity and destruction that has been planned by the forces of the dark will not be tolerated by the forces of the light any longer. As those who ascend progress, they will finally be accepted as equal members of this galactic command to take their rightful place in planning world peace, both for this planet and their place in the solar system and the galaxy. And so we speak of ascension. That is a word that we use a lot. We all have our own ideas of what it's going to be like. But some of the things that these people are telling us is that we even grow and advance beyond that, and that there is a place of planning that is involving this part of the universe. And we haven't been a part of that yet because of the warring nature that has been involved on this planet. But this is part of what we are ascending to be a part of this great command, and we'll start making our own decisions as to what is going to happen in this part of the universe. And Caesar continues. He says, since he was released from the Bardo, I made my way to the center of the cosmos and then came back to Earth. I took up my rightful place in working with these energies. I have always been an energy person. Even as a Roman, I understood the energy of positive mental abilities and what could be accomplished if one used that force in their planning and actions. I admit, I did not always make the right decision when I lived in the Roman times, but I am a different soul now who has had my eyes open to the wonders of creation and the meaning of source. I have been allowed to remember who and what I was before I descended to Earth and took up the role of Julius Caesar. So I say to you, peace will reign again, but there will be a heavy cost to humanity because humans do not understand the power they have with their own mental abilities. You can create circumstance in your world to your own liking, and you can do this with mind power alone. And he reminds us on a continual basis. We're talking about this energy as it comes around the bend of manifestation. And it is there that our thoughts can change what will materialize. And we're going to explain a little bit, or he talks a little bit about how and why that happens. But he continues on this vein of thought and says, you must decide what you want to surface in your present and in your future, and by what ethics you will follow to obtain these results. Unless you take this course of action and do it soon, more destruction will be upon you by the elements of weather, and more upheavals will come about in the Middle East and the other parts of the world. Now, the reason that he is saying this is because there has been, we've talked in the past of possibilities and probabilities. And so there has been many lines of possibility put into place because of negativity in the world. In other words, if you think a certain way about a topic, whether it is war or peace or love or hate, and there's enough people doing it, and these avenues become more of possibilities that gather, they gather in that area right around that bend of manifestation. And so it is our thoughts that are creating what happens on the planet. It is our consciousness. And that is why he is saying we have to start thinking about these things. We have to start deciding what we're going to allow, what we want, what kind of ethics that we're going to follow. And then he adds to this, he says, your founding fathers, if they were on earth today. And then he has a little aside. He says, actually, a few of them have reincarnated right now. But he's going back to these early founding fathers, and he says, as a group, they wouldn't recognize the actions of your court system, what has come forth from your executive office, and to what the members of Congress have succumbed. Saint Germain has overlighted the freedom in your country and influenced your founding fathers to put forth documents that would protect people and their children's children. But you, on the other hand, have thrown this away in exchange for allowing someone else to take your responsibilities for self-government. And we're seeing this every day. You know, they're talking about it on the news, about how our email can be tracked, how our telephones, they can listen in on our telephone calls, all the information that they are gathering. And so the vice is coming closer and closer around us, all in the name of protecting us from another terrorist attack. And he continues, and he says, when I lived in Rome, the citizens felt a responsibility to rule themselves and would not follow any dictate of the king. You have a president, as he is called, but he has taken the role of a dictator, and you have allowed him to do so. You have lost much, and it will take years to get back what has been given away. And so it certainly is a lot of room for thought there. He continues, you might think I do not have the right to say such things, as I also played the role of a dictator. Since I had such desires for personal gain myself, I understand all too well how easy it is to fall from personal integrity and make excuses for the sins of commission. I have been there, and I have done that, but I have also paid the price for my foolishness. I have put all this down in writing, and you can read all of my confessions as my daughter has faithfully transcribed all my thoughts and memories. And, of course, he's talking about the book, Conversations with Caesar, and that is available on that website. All of that is behind me, and I now work faithfully for Source and my own spiritual advancement, as you need to work for your own spiritual advancement. I am hoping that my words and my experiences will be of assistance to you. understand, I am aware of what is in your future, and the sooner that you can align yourself with your own I am presence and become adept at connecting to Source, the easier it will be to make decisions in the near future when even greater earth changes commence. And so I want to just reread that last statement because I think it's very important. He's aware of what is the possibilities that's coming into the future. He can see it. And he is saying the sooner you can align yourself with your own I am presence and become adept at connecting to Source, the easier it will be to make decisions in the near future when even greater earth changes commence. Your I am presence can be a warning signal to the dangers that surround you, and you can understand your commitments of soul, and you will learn that you can change these commitments if you so choose. And so what we're talking about here in very practical terms, if you're living on a fault in the United States or wherever it might be, is that fault in danger of giving way? If you're connected to your I am presence, it's going to give you a warning signal. It'll give you a warning signal if you should be collecting food, if you should be collecting water, whether you move. And the other thing that I would like to mention that he makes here is that you can change commitments if you so choose. In other words, some of us have made commitments that we will transition. Better word, die during an earthquake, during a tornado. You know, we just had a serious, not too long ago, serious tornadoes in the Midwest. People did die. Houses were flattened. And so our I am presence can not only warn us of these things if we go within and ask, but if we find out that we made a commitment that we would transition at a tornado or an earthquake, and we choose not to do that, we can make a change in that commitment. And so I think these two things are very important. Following the I am presence, going to Source, reviewing what your commitment might be, and having the ability to change it. And so he ends this message by adding another point. And this is a very interesting point. He says, you can never approach the home of another with a drawn sword in your hand and claim to be a friend. They will always suspect your intentions. A carpet of military might laid out before an enemy will not convince him of your goodwill towards him. Your soldiers, for the most part, are good and compassionate men. I realize that Americans acknowledge their worth and their love of liberty, but they cannot bring home the victory that you Americans feel is needed in the Middle East. And I'd like to say that again. Our soldiers cannot bring home the victory that you Americans feel is needed in the Middle East. And he goes on to say, this is a different world from when I lived there, and this is the time of cooperation and respect for one another as humans. There must be recognition that peace can only come about through cooperation and bringing in all the countries that have a stake in the game of peace. Each country that is a neighbor to all of those troubled spots really want peace, and you must use the resources of all of these countries to work for peace in the region. One country does not have the key to peace. This must be a joint effort. And I think that is worthwhile repeating also. One country does not have the key to peace. This must be a joint effort. And so if anybody wishes to comment on this or question, the number here is 888-268-4313. Well, my friends, I had so much I wanted to discuss today, and here we are halfway a little over halfway through the time, so it really does pass very quickly. I wanted to give a little bit of information about what is in the book itself, but I think that what I'm going to have to do is move on to another message that he is talking about. And he gets into why our mind is the powerful magnet that it is to bring into Earth the things that we are desiring. And then after I tell you about this, if we have time and there are no calls with questions, we'll get into some of the things that he talks about in the book itself. And so he's reminding us of this, but my golly, we don't really have to accept his word for it. We're actually seeing this. And he says, the civilizations in certain parts of the world are breaking down. And he's telling us that we understand this. And yes, we have television. We've got news, and we're seeing the turmoil and the conflict in so many places in the world. And he says he's mentioning this because the language of the soul expresses itself into the grid system. And let me just say that again. He is telling us that the language of soul expresses itself into the grid system. He simply means that human emotions is affecting the hologram that you call Earth. The negativity that is being generated and the cries of pain and retribution are heavy on the framework of Mother Earth. And so that's an interesting concept that, again, we're talking about emotion. And all you have to do is see some of the pain and this horrible emotions that are being generated where people are being murdered. And so these cries of pain and retribution are actually filtering onto this hologram. And he says Mother Earth is clearing all pollution, and she's clearing the systems to sustain a higher energy rate. And this is a drag upon her resources. Mother Earth will complete her mission, but whether or not she carries her people, that will remain to be seen. And so, again, we're back to what humanity is creating with their thoughts and their emotions is having a great effect on what Mother Earth is going through by the way of clearing pollution and clearing her systems and raising up the energy rate. And so he says, with this in mind, we ask your prayers to be sent to the cosmic center for grace and wisdom of her people on Earth. And of course, when he talks about the cosmic center, he's talking about Prime Creator that created all of this. And he says, there is not much grace now, nor is there much wisdom being expressed on Earth. And so he's reminding us that we can pray to God that there will be grace and there will be wisdom being expressed on Earth because we surely need it. And he continues, we will say that the energies that are coming to Earth from cosmic center and to other parts of the universe are insistent and continuous, and there becomes a pressure evolving between what is a compelling force upon this planet and the resistance of human thoughts. And so if we're going to consider what is behind so much of this turmoil, you can see there are two pressures, and one is a spiritual pressure. And he says, and that's coming through the sun from cosmic center. this is our time to elevate ourselves, and Prime Creator is sending us the energy to do this. And so as this comes down through all the gateways and comes through our sun, it is coming to earth, and God's force is insistent, and it is continuous. But what is happening is there is a resistance from human thought. And so we've got God's energy showering down upon us, and we have the negativity of human thought and emotions that is pushing, these two forces are pushing against one another. And so what he has said that we can do to help relieve this is to go to the cosmic center, to go to Prime Creator and ask for the grace and wisdom of the people on earth for us to express this. If we can express the wisdom and the grace, this will help bring in the balance and allow these spiritual energies to come down on this planet and embrace everything on the planet and help Mother Earth evolve herself. And so he says, we have said many times that the wave of the future and the ability to sustain life on this planet is based upon human consciousness. This is evolving into a critical state as Earth forces for peace and balance in the transition is very low. And so, you know, you look at the amount of war and hate, and you look at the amount of peace and love to balance this transition, there just isn't enough of the peace and love. And it reminds us again, the Earth will progress. She will clear her systems. Since she has only the tectonic plate system, wind, fire, and water, the methods for this clearing are few. And so we've been told this many times. The Earth, to clear her systems, only has a few tools. The tectonic plate system, wind, water, and fire. And they're the things that she uses to clear the Earth. And so he gets into an explanation of how our thoughts make the changes on this planet. And I think this is extremely important. Well, for me, I just thought this was very clearly stated. And he admonishes us and he says, watch your every thought. You are powerful electrical components on a planet that is electromagnetic in its construction. I say this so you understand you are a very important part of creation here. There are many who live on this planet, and they are connected into an electric grid. And that grid controls the movement of a vast planet that is not only connected into the solar system in which you find yourself, but you are also a member of a vast galaxy and part of a vaster cosmos. And so that might be a complicated thought to consider, and maybe I didn't express it very well, but he is saying that we are an electrical component. Our planet is electrically, magnetically made in its construction. I mean, it's almost like a spark plug. I mean, to me, this is how I'm envisioning it. I'm seeing humanity plugged into a planet, almost like a spark plug. And he's trying to say that we are so important here because of the part that we are playing. And this planet is connected into an electric grid system. And this system not only controls the movement of a vast planet, but, again, it's connected into our solar system, and it's connected into this vast galaxy that's even a vaster part of the cosmos. And this is all because of the electrical components that all of these represent to one another. And he goes on further to say, you underestimate the electrical components of your brain and the brain power of all of those who live on this planet that you call home. If you could see civilization as I see you, you would see a vast electrical field with every person interconnected to each other and the stars and what is beneath your feet. That is such a powerful statement. He is seeing us from the viewpoint of energy. And we don't think of this, that our brain and our brain power is an electrical component in this vast electrical components of a planet that we are on because it's of the way it is constructed. And if you're interested in science and you read what some of the scientists are saying, they are saying that our whole universe is electric in nature. And so they are saying that the whole cosmos is electric, and Caesar is kind of stepping this down to the very smallest of the unit of the cosmos, and that is the human being. And so the human being is the smallest unit in the cosmos, but we all share the same thing. We all have the same thing in common with this whole plan, in the sense that we are all part of this electrical system, and what is driving it is our brain and our brain power. And that is why he says, watch your every thought, because it is these thoughts that is creating your life around you and is creating not only the life around you, but grouped together the life around the whole planetary system. So I think that's a very interesting statement. And so he adds to this, try and think of yourself in that manner. You are an electric dynamo. Even your scientific geniuses who study the brain have found that this is electrical in nature and have tried to harness this in scientific experiments. And I'm always interested in the things that science is doing, and that I have seen some of these experiments that our scientists are using. They're trying to they're trying to calculate through the instruments just how much of an electric spark that our brain has, and they're I think it's pretty much accepted that our brains also are electrical in nature. So you know, the scientific community is moving in that same direction and stating that the cosmos, everything in the universe is electric by nature. And so he ends this by saying, be aware, your thoughts will not only direct your future, but your thoughts will direct the future on planet Earth. And so these were Caesar's messages about the way that America is moving. And, of course, he is looking at this from a spiritual perspective. He's saying, again, our scandals are going to be increasing because of the energy that is coming to Earth. And there is probably going to be a lot of turmoil if we don't work enough from the mental aspect of bringing in what we want. And we're busy with many activities, and perhaps we're not thinking enough about what we will accept from our leaders, what we are going to demand for our quality of life. And then once you think about that and start working on it, it seems like your soul nudges you along to make choices in your life, maybe to join in a peaceful march or to write letters. Spirit does not nudge us along on certain activity until we start deciding what we want out of life. And so we're nearing the end of my time with you, and I would just like to mention one more time that if you care to call in and either comment or ask a question, the number is 888-268-4313. And since we have come to the end of Caesar's message and we still have a little bit time left, looks like maybe about 10 minutes, I'll give you some thoughts about what is in his words in conversations with Caesar. He had a great respect for his soldiers. That has been documented many times. But when you hear of his personal words about how he felt, how they went on campaign together, how they protected him, it truly is beautiful. And it's one of the things that he says that he is very proud of, is this relationship between he and his men. He talks about the times that he slept on the ground with them and how, in some ways, Caesar was very psychic. He remembered being the conqueror of the past. When I say the past, I meant his previous lifetimes. And that, since he was reliving these ancient memories, he talks about how from the very beginning when he went to battle, he just knew he would win. There was never a doubt in his mind. And we've talked about this before, how if you have certain skills that you have learned from past lifetimes, in this lifetime, they are right at your hand and available. You can pick up on it very quickly. And so, in a sense, if there is something that you want to do, whether it's to be a singer or a dancer or play the violin or be a sports player, a baseball player, or you know, whatever it is that you want, you can start now and learn it, because in this lifetime you might not be real great about it with it, but the next lifetime or the lifetime after that, if you want to be a musician, you might be playing like Mozart or creating like Mozart. You know, here is an example of a gentleman at age three. He was producing great pieces of music, and so it was with Caesar. He had been the way of the warrior in the past, though in the book he talks about how he defended people against intruders in his own country and how he was revered and loved for that. And he talks about power. It's like a narcotic. He looks at that now. And so the man understood what ultimate power is. And it's something that we have here. Our country does hold ultimate power of weaponry against other countries. And so he warns against that. He knows what that is like, that power can overtake people so that a part of them, they have an instinct about themselves, and that part that is compassion, that they forget that. And so one of the best things that he says about that lifetime is how he lived for his soldiers and his soldiers lived for him. There are some very touching stories. He never gave in to defeat, and he would never be afraid. And he relates a story how he had come to that. And for those of you that know a little bit about the history of his life, you might be aware that when he was a very young man, that his name was put on the list, the prescription list, which meant that if anyone captured him and bring him dead or alive into those who were in charge, they would receive a big reward. And so he fled. He was like 16 or 17 at the time. He had no power against Sulla, who had put his name on the list, and so he fled into the mountains and north of Rome. And he could look down. He could see the city. He knew what was going on. And he was afraid. He was afraid for his life. And he talks about cowering like a rabbit in a rabbit hole. And he decided at that moment he would never allow fear to enter his life. And so he lived fearlessly because he knew what it was like to live the life of a coward. And he knew what it was like to live life without fear. And so it was one of the things that, when I read, I had to admire to live life fearlessly, no matter where you find yourself, to live it to the fullest, to live it without fear. And sometimes this takes a lot of bravery on our part. And perhaps that is where the greatest of the brave walk, when we do something that we know that we have to do, when we do something that we know that we want to do, when we do something that we know that we have to do, and yet we're afraid, but we do it anyway. And so I found that to be a wonderful thought, and this man has many thoughts like that. You might say he came from a period of time where he saw it all. And I remember what it was like to walk into a room with a lot of people and have my arm linked in his arm. The man, he walked into a room and there was an electricity. Nobody could see him and not be aware of his presence. He had what you would call charisma today, and he had many people follow him because of that charisma. And his bravery in life, how he lived, his words are very, well, at least they were very inspiring to me, and perhaps they would be inspiring to you. And so I say to you, my friends, if anything that I have said today is of interest, I know you would enjoy reading his story because he holds no bars. He tells it all, tells it just like it is. These are his secret thoughts through some of the most famous periods of history. You might know a little bit about the history, but here he tells you what his actual thoughts were, the things that shaped his thinking, the kinds of thoughts that made him
We're already a couple
and
minutes.
So, friends, we say goodbye until next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.